Welcome to this edition of the Huron Consulting Group podcast series. In this series, Huron Consulting Group executives share insights on the issues and trends that are shaping the industries we serve.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Huron Education. I'm Marty Vanderwerf, and I'm here today with two of our senior consultants at Huron Education, John Curry and Bill Jenkins. John and Bill have both worked extensively in administration of both public and private universities, and both have been with Huron Education for a number of years. We're going to talk today about enrollment management at public universities primarily. Enrollment management has long been a leading concern for private colleges and universities, but now with revenue so uncertain, more public universities are much more focused on enrollment management. Why is this happening, Bill?
The short answer is enrollment is becoming much more competitive. One example of that is you see adjacent and even other states continuing to poach on the best and brightest students of peer institutions with scholarship, financial aid offers, etc. Also, you see universities, public universities, becoming more sophisticated in what I would call all of the enrollment process, and that includes recruiting, financial aid allocation, ways to ensure retention.
John, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with what Bill just said? Are there other factors that you take in that you think are driving this?
Well, I certainly do agree with Bill. One reason that revenues are becoming a focus is that, first of all, state appropriations have been dropping in some states very severely. As a consequence, their public universities are having to raise their tuition prices. But as price goes up, price sensitivity among potential students goes right along with that. And so among other things that the universities are looking at is, gosh, what are our prices relative to our other state prices? Because they're getting into ranges that start to look a little like private university tuitions did a few years ago. The second feature of that is complicated is financial aid. In the past, when university sticker prices were very low, the financial aid was built in. Everybody got a huge discount from the true cost. Now that that is not any longer the case, financial aid is increasingly necessary even to guarantee access to qualified students in one's own state. But, Bill, I would emphasize especially what you just said about one state trying to recruit the best of the students from right across the border. Mm-hmm. In some cases, I've seen that they are offering discounts from their sticker price automatically to students in adjacent states of high quality. That's just not financial aid. That's just saying we'll price less.
Okay, so I'm a public university, and I haven't really focused very much on enrollment management. Or if I'm a public university that has been focusing for a while but really need to sharpen it, what should be my priorities in shaping enrollment and thinking about enrollment management?
Well, I think the first thing that I think about is in many cases for many years, enrollment was really almost a build it and they will come. And so processes and enrollment were operational. And I think the best universities are moving this to a much more strategic function. So you're looking at how do you organize, where does it report, the different components of enrollment, which we've already talked about, such as recruitment and financial aid. All of that needs to be thought through in a strategic way, and that's what's happening for a number of universities across this country right now.
Do public universities, are they just getting some of these processes and people in place, or do public universities really need to do more hiring or thinking through the process of getting the right people in place in order to be effective in enrollment management?
You know, some public universities have become very sophisticated in this arena. Some of the flagship universities in two or three states that we could identify have long been looking at optimization. And part of the reason they started this is that their state's revenues began to decline a long time ago. At the same time, their state's obligations to pension plans and the like began to soar. So they've had to face this issue as much as 20 years ago, in, for example, states like Michigan. I think I'd like to add to what Bill said. Bill's basically said, you've got to get your management act together. You've got to get the right people in the right places with the right ideas and the right processes to really run enrollment management. What I'd like to add to that is you need to get your analytic act together. In the past, you simply mostly relied on your own state's population. You had a certain kind of cutoff, which led to virtually automatic enrollment. And all was well until either the state resources turned against you or the demographic turned against you when there were far fewer students of college age now in your state. So what I'm seeing happen, along with getting one's management act together, is, first of all, trying to understand where are the students we should be trying to get. Let's look more closely at our own state. Let's look at our in-state competition. Then let's look at contiguous states and look at the prices of what their universities charge and look at what we might where we might have an advantage. So this is what I would call learning about your potential market. The second piece is then to begin to track everything from what your market is to how many applicants you succeeded in getting from it to how many kids were admissible to what the yield was to why certain students yielded from certain areas and why others did not, frankly, all the way through enrollment and then down the road through retention. And so that's the second part is know your market, understand who comes, who stays, and why, and then reinforce the best parts of that.
You know, when I hear you say that, John, it just brings to mind questions that I would have about whether a university also then needs to prioritize whether all the programs in a university should be equally supported.
Marty, I think the answer to that is yes. I think many of those are doing it. I think that in the past they have treated all programs the same. I would like to reemphasize one of John's points, is the best universities are very data-driven. They have the financial reporting and the budgeting systems that they can do this now, and they really couldn't do that before. Many of the universities are on the edge of this, of really costing their programs, of really understanding which ones they should offer more, which ones less, where they should offer them beyond the campus. Of course, online comes in there too. So it's a moving target that universities are getting much more sophisticated at compared to even 5 years ago.
Bill, one of the drivers I've seen in this is with a client I've been working with recently. They have a priority for growing their engineering program, and there's demand for it. But they don't have growth necessarily in overall revenue. They can get more engineering students, but they're not but they may be losing students in other areas. So the question arises, how do we support growth in engineering if we're not willing to reduce costs in certain other low-demand areas? This is not easy because the natural response comes up, but everything is important in universities. But the fact is, everything is not as important as everything else, especially when universities are really eager to attract enough resources to support their work. There's one other interesting thing I've seen recently. Many universities in public sector have kind of medium thresholds for admission. That does not necessarily guarantee that students are qualified to get all the way through a four-year program, and many of these universities have some pretty serious dropout rates along the way. Some of that is built into the fact that it's hard to get the right courses, but much of it is built into the fact of insufficient preparation at entry. So the universities are having to say, how do we infill? And, of course, the infill approach is to attract transfer students of the kind of right majors at the right time. As universities start to focus on that in the public sector, they're realizing that sometimes their curricular requirements, their core requirements for everyone, are so complex that a perfectly qualified junior coming in from a community college can't graduate in two more years because of having to take so many distribution requirements. So I've begun to see in a couple of instances some very careful work at revising what the core curriculum needs to look like to enable more students to access the programs at different spots along the four-year trajectory of a college student.
So, Marty, one of the things I think you can start to see in what John and I are talking about is how comprehensive enrollment management is and how it can really consume a university.
When I compared the way it used to be, where universities just kind of threw open the gates and the students just came, it's become much more complicated. Universities must be much more focused on their priorities, on their mission, trimming off things that they probably don't need to do anymore, and it's all becoming very much more sophisticated and complicated.
You know, Marty, they're doing some good things in this that I think are very good for students too, though. When you start to really study enrollment, you begin to realize there's an enormous revenue price to be paid for attrition, for students not staying the course. And as universities have looked at this, we did a model recently, which is what I'd call sort of student flow model, where we said, do you realize what increasing your retention rate at the freshman, end of the freshman year by 5 percentage points would do for your revenues? Well, first of all, it swells the sophomore class. Then that class swells the junior class and swells the senior class. And all through the enrollment cycle, you suddenly have enormous growth through no other thing than retention. And so there is a focus now increasingly on finding students quickly into the first quarter who may be in trouble, counseling them, helping them figure out what they may need to stay the course for the first semester and then the second semester. And that can be fairly effective. So while we think about enrollment management typically as recruitment, there are enormous revenue growth opportunities in just getting your retention rates up all along the freshman, sophomore, junior year trajectory.
This is a fascinating topic, definitely central to the financial strength of universities. Thank you for spending a few minutes listening to this podcast.
You've been listening to a Huron Consulting Group podcast. For more insights from our executives or to learn more about Huron Consulting Group, please visit our website at www.huronconsultinggroup.com.